This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Do you have a smile on your face? You should. It's history time, baby. Are you ready for some history? And let me remind you before we do history, you have to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions emailed in right now. Right now. They can be history questions, political, stupid questions. I don't care. All 3 hours on Friday, we answer your questions. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Email those in. Now, I have good news and I have bad news. Depends on who you are, really. The bad news is if you're one of the suits, the radio suits, maybe you're thinking, it's a political show. Probably shouldn't talk about history for a long time. You're going to have a rough night. If it's you and you want to hear some cool history stories, an interesting one, one you may even know a little bit about, and how it connects to today, well, you're in luck because it's time. Let's talk about Vietnam for a minute. Oh, it's going to take longer than a minute. I totally lied about that. Let's talk about Vietnam for a little while. All right, because this is going to go somewhere. It is going to apply to something I see happening right now that concerns me greatly. But to see what's coming, let's look back. All right, so let's talk about Vietnam for a minute. First of all, let's understand something about Vietnam. We all do this. I do this all the time. Maybe you don't, but I know I do this. I tend to simplify things to make them easier to understand. Right? That's probably a very human nature thing to do. But when we think about Vietnam, when I think about Vietnam, just right off the bat, if I'm not putting any thought into it, I think about, okay, a Southeast Asian country Buddhist. That's what we think, right? Chris, Michael, Jewish producer Chris, Michael, that about what you think? Vietnam, that kind of, yeah, okay, all right. But Vietnam's got a very complicated history, and complicated in this way. There's European influence there. We'll get to that. Muslim influence there. Christian influence there. Catholic influence there. Hindu influence there. Buddha influence there. Before any of this America involvement, we're going back before that, okay? But this will help us understand the lay of the land better. Before any of that, there wasn't some singular Vietnam. Up until the modern era, really the post-Vietnam War, that wasn't really something that existed at all. And we think that it did, but it did not. It was always divided into at least two, oftentimes more than two, three different regions. And it's important for the purposes of our discussion tonight to know that the North and South, they never really got along. They never were really, it wasn't some country where, hey, we eventually had a split. They were always kind of split, and that'll come into play later on. So what happened? Well, I'm not going to go into all the endless history of Vietnam. Let's just fast forward to the colonial era, if you will. The colonization era, where the major powers of the earth were finding new pieces of land to conquer. They would conquer them to expand their territory. They would conquer them to expand the treasury. It's always good money to have extra resources, extra territory around the world, expand their power. And yes, to some extent, and I don't want to be dismissive of this, I don't want to be a cynic, a lot of it was to spread Christianity or Catholicism, depending on the period of time and country you were in. So let's just get to the French portion of this. The French, they decided to dig into Vietnam. Now, again, I want to emphasize, this is not a historically Buddhist country or a historically Muslim country or a historically Christian or a historically. It was all those things. There were always Europeans there, and the Muslims had it forever, and the Catholics and the Christians. It was just always a real hodgepodge of a nation, right? But the French, they decided these Vietnamese people need Jesus. Chris. Anyway, they decided these Vietnamese people need Jesus. So they started sending French missionaries in there. That kind of thing can go really well. That kind of thing can go really poorly. And that kind of thing can go really well for a while and then eventually go really poorly. And that kind of thing can go really poorly for a while and then go really well. What am I trying to say? Well, the missionary business is an interesting business. In Rome, in ancient Rome, if you were there as one of the founding Christians, you know, we're talking they killed Jesus, he rose from the dead, he goes back to heaven, you're one of the original types. Those were some tough years for you. You were getting fed to the lions in the Colosseum. You know that verse in the Bible where Paul praises, he thanks God for saving him. I forget the exact terminology, from the mouth of the lion. What was he talking about? Paul was about to be put to death, and he was going to be beheaded, and he was very thankful to God, as you would be if your choices were be eaten by a lion or have your head chopped off with one swoop. He was quite grateful he did not have to be digested. Okay, but then eventually Rome, once it splits off, becomes East, it becomes a Christian nation. All right, so again, started out hostile, ended up pretty good. The Vietnam experiment went the other way. It started out okay. French missionaries are in there. Again, there's all kinds of different people they're working with. They're spreading the gospel. Finally, they wore out their welcome. Whether or not it's their fault, I don't know. I wasn't there. You know, missionary work can be, it takes on a different form. Not all of it is, hey, here's a Bible and some clean drinking water. Would you like to hear about Jesus? Sometimes it's a, here's a gun in your forehead. Convert now or I'll shoot you in the face. It takes on different forms. Either way, they started killing the French missionaries. The French decide, that's going to be a no-go for me. You're not going to kill our missionaries. And also, let's not dismiss this. It wasn't all religious fervor. Vietnam is a pretty nice place if you're a nation looking for a colony. Yes, it is, Chris. Chris S.Y. Okay, that's anytime you have a nation, let's pause for a moment. And again, this is the Jesse Kelly Show. I swear it's a political show, but we're doing history right now. Though that part of the world, think India East, all right? India East. Go to India East, all of it. We're talking Philippines, Vietnam, all these places. Yes, Chris, I understand about the leeches and tigers and malaria. I get all that. Just stay with me, please. When you get to India and that part of the world, that is a resource-rich part of the world and always has been. You've heard about things like the spice trade. What in the world is the spice trade? Are they talking about spicy foods? They're talking about all kinds of different spices, from cinnamon to black pepper. And all that stuff was coming from this region. The major powers of the world were obsessed with this region because all their food sucked and they wanted it all to get better. And that became, it was like trading in gold back then. I got a ship full of cinnamon. I'm coming, baby. It's going to be swimming in money. All right. This area is resource rich, especially rice rich. Rice has an incredible value. Anyway, the French move in. They colonize Vietnam. They take the place over. This was not a peaceful taking. And remember, this is not nursery rhyme conservatism time. There has never been a place that has been taken. Well, rarely has there been a place that is taken by peaceful means. Vietnam was pacified and conquered through violence by the French. You want a unified Vietnam? You got one. A lot of Vietnamese people got shot in the face for that. French moved in. They said, you're officially a French colony. Oh, you don't like that? Here's a bayonet in your stomach. Eventually, the French win. They take over, and they take over from north to south. But Here's the problem you run into, and many colonial powers have run into this. We actually ran into this problem many times with the American Indians who we were busy conquering from east to west. We look at them all because they look similar. We look at them all as if they're the same. I mean, all these Indians, after all, that they've got, you know, the red skin, they've got a darker skin than we do. They all worship weirdly. Surely they're all friends, right? No, not so much. Same thing the French ran into in Vietnam. Ah, they're all tiny Asians. Surely they're buds. It's kind of an ignorant way to look at it, right? But that's how they looked at it. You can pacify and conquer a country, but that don't mean the North and South are getting along real well. They still hate each other, and they hate each other a lot. And that brings us to communism. And we're going to continue on this history story for as long as I feel like. And then we'll get back to politics later on. Now, before we do any of that, let's do this. Here it is.
Here's the price hike since President Biden took office. Food up 3.7%, new cars 2.5%, shelter 7.2%, and childcare 4.8%. So these are essentials. This is not like little extras that you might need.
You might think to yourself, wow, surely they're meeting to find a way to stop all this madness. But actually, as we speak, the federal government, House and Senate, they are meeting to discuss how to spend trillions more. Have you purchased that gold yet from Oxford Gold Group? Or the silver yet? You need it. And you don't have to go crazy. This is not for millionaires. This is for normal people. You need something. That it will allow you to purchase goods or services once these people finish lighting all of our money on fire. And this is not something that's going to go to waste. Maybe you're worried about that. What if I don't use it? Okay, what if you don't? Last I checked, silver doesn't go stale. Maybe your kids will need it, or their kids after them. Let Oxford Gold Group deliver it to your front door, all right? Let them get it in your 401k, too, so you don't lose all your retirement. All this can be done at jessekellygold.com, all right? jessekellygold.com. Now's the time. We'll be back with more history.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. The week is almost over. And oh, by the way, you need to hang around about an hour from now, roughly an hour from now. I have Savannah Hernandez coming on. There's a story out of California today. It's been going on for quite some time about a father losing custody of his son because he won't affirm his gender. But it's a story that I think parents in America need to hear and be vigilant about. Remember, these people aren't passively after your kids.
It's wrong that extreme officials are pushing hateful bills targeting transgender children, terrifying families, and criminalizing doctors. These are our kids. These are our neighbors. It's cruel and it's callous. Not somebody else's kids. They're all our kids. They're the kids, and our children are the kite strings that hold our national ambitions aloft.
They're all our kids. Anyway, hang on for that. Let's get back to the history in case you just joined us. We've decided we're driving the show off a bridge today, and we're doing history. History, a lot of it. I have someplace I'm going as it relates to what's happening right now in the world. Just stay with me. This will come back to America. But we're talking about Vietnam, the history of it. Okay, the French take over. There's still a serious divide with the Vietnamese people between the Northerners and the Southerners. What is the difference? Well, in the North, they are extremely anti-French. They're anti really everybody but themselves. I almost want to call it a patriotic, kind of a nationalist movement. In the South, it's French society is more catching on there. I'll put it to you that way. Now, let's pause for a second. Both sides have a point here. Don't set aside your commie biases for a minute, because right about now, the communism is starting to catch on in the North, and we'll get into that in a second. But set that aside. I'm going to set aside my commie hate for a second. You set aside yours for a second. Both sides have good points, If you're the Vietnamese people in the North, okay, you've always had your nation invaded and ripped up and rebuilt. There's always these divisions in a new empire. And then along comes some people that say, no, we're Vietnam. That sounds not too bad, right? If you're Vietnamese, that's appealing. In the South see what the French bring. Remember, I know we're in this modern day and age where the West and every single major power has to be demonized at all times. Oh, a bunch of evil colonizers. Sometimes colonization can be very terrible. Obviously, the genocide and enslavement of people, most of the colonization of human history, maybe that's not fair. Some of the colonization of human history, it's really a really nice trade-off, or in the very least, a trade-off. Okay, so the French come in, they take over everything. All right, you're not running your country anymore if you're Vietnamese. The Vietnamese people who are, quote, in charge, they're all French puppets. They're the ones the French determine they are going to be in charge. So that sucks, right? You know what doesn't suck? Modern medicine. Modern buildings. The ability to read. To modernize your economy. A standard of living that shoots up through the roof. Life expectancy doubling. Again, both sides have points when it comes to where we are now. That brings us to someone you've probably heard of before, Ho Chi Minh. Ho Chi Minh, who was he? Well, I know you're going to find this shocking. Unless you've read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, then you won't find this shocking at all. Ho Chi Minh was, surprise, surprise, a rich kid. Virtually every single communist leader throughout history, they haven't been some poor kid who grew up hard scrabble just trying to get by. They're almost always do-gooder rich kids who take advantage of poor, miserable kids to acquire more power for themselves. That was Ho Chi Minh. Of course it was. Now, Ho Chi Minh, as a well-to-do rich kid, found himself traveling abroad. Stop me if you've heard this before. Going to schools in places like France. Those who know Pol Pot and his takeover of Cambodia will know Pol Pot, he learned communism in France. That's where he fell in love with communism. Brought it all back home. Anyway, Ho Chi Minh does the same thing. Comes on back home. Well, right about now, World War II kicks off. And look, I know there are a bunch of Vietnam veterans who probably don't exactly have their hearts tugged for the Vietnamese people right now. Maybe you do. I don't know. Different people have different experiences over there. And Americans in general probably don't think lovingly of Vietnam. But my goodness, you do have to kind of sympathize with the people at this point in time. Why? Because you've had your country ripped up and rebuilt and colonized a million times. Now the French just did it and you're not happy about it. But wait, there's more. The French just had to give up Vietnam because Hitler invaded France and beat the crap out of them. And so they were losing all their overseas territories. Who did France give up Vietnam to? Japan. And obviously, if you listen to this show, you are well aware that you did not want to be colonized by Japan. Remember how I said it can be quite nice, a nice trade-off? Ah, yeah, not with the Japanese, not back then. If the Japanese colonized your country, what they were going to do, they did this everywhere they went, they are going to rape all of your women. They're going to pillage your economy like you can't imagine. They'll enslave your men to work as conscripts for them. The Japanese colonized in the old school way. Now, if you're the Vietnamese, now you're going through that. Okay. And that leads us to the resistance. Trust me, I'm going somewhere in modern America with this. To see where, you're going to have to hang on. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget to email in your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow, man. Tomorrow, all 3 hours belong to you. Get them emailed into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, before we get back to history, I want you to know something. I know you've been stressing about it. I have not forgotten about my little Vicks Vapor Rub stick thing. I keep it right here by the microphone. Jewish producer Chris doesn't like it. He says I have an addiction. My nose isn't even stuffed, and this thing is just the best. Now that I've discovered these, I want everyone to have one. Anyway, back to my story. We're talking about, well, it's going to tie into something I see happening with America in the world today. But right now we're doing a little backstory on Vietnam. If you want all the rest of it, you got to go download the rest of the what I've already done. It's all podcasts, and I'm not going back. We don't have time. Okay, so the French fall. Japan takes over Vietnam. It is not pleasant for the Vietnamese people. Again, when the Japanese took you over back then, you were going to have a rough road of it, man. It was really, really bad what they did. So there grows a resistance movement in Vietnam to the Japanese. A resistance movement in large part led by Ho Chi Minh. That very same communist who had been educated abroad in communism, perfected his communism, and was now back leading his people. And I know you're going to be stunned by this if you know anything about American history, but did you know that Ho Chi Minh was supported by the United States of America? Of course, Ho Chi Minh supported by the United States of America because he was fighting against the very same Japan we were fighting against. Yes, once again, America funded, trained, and supported the exact same person we would be fighting tooth and nail 15 minutes later. Anyway, in case you're wondering what the inside baseball scoop was in Vietnam, was in the North, the communists led by Ho Chi Minh, they were really the only organized resistance. The hardcore, I should say, probably not only, that's not fair. The hardcore organized resistance against the Japanese occupation. In the South, they hated the Japanese too, don't get me wrong, but they hated the North as well. Again, internal divisions, America, internal divisions do not automatically heal themselves in the face of external threats. Let me repeat that once again. For everybody who says things like another world war will heal the divisions, internal divisions do not magically heal themselves because of the introduction of an external threat. All right? All right. Now, obviously, eventually, China became a problem. Well, we'll get to China in a little bit, Chris. Let's set that aside for now. We're not going to introduce something else. In case you're wondering, Chris... Yeah, it didn't in China. As Chris said, it didn't in China. Yeah, when the commies and nationalists were fighting in China and the Japanese came in, the commies just served up the nationalists to the Japanese, then turned around and took everything over. Anyway, back to Vietnam. When it rains, it pours. Eventually, the Japanese are defeated. But you know how we've talked about the fall of empires many times and how things just kind of snowball when everything's going to crap? And oftentimes, one thing leads to another. But... of course, You have this French occupation, then Japanese occupation, then all this disaster, and a famine hits. Now people are freaking starving to death. There's been all this war, so you have a mass refugee crisis. It's just a disaster. So World War II ends. Now, this is where we play a part in this. In fact, we've played a big role in this. And I'm not going to indict what we did. I'm just going to lay out there what happened. At the end of World War II, the leaders of the world were faced with something that I don't know that leaders of the world have ever really been faced with on this scale. How do you put Humpty Dumpty back together again? How do you restore any kind of a world order after that much death and destruction? All over. The numbers are staggering. You know, you ask the average American, you know, how many did we lose in World War II? And they'll know, 400,000 or 500,000, they'll know. And I'm not dismissive of that at all. That's a whole lot of our young men gone. 20 million. 30 million. These are the numbers we're talking about in places like the Soviet Union and China. And that's the lives lost. We're not talking about critical infrastructure destroyed, bankruptcy everywhere. How do you start to fix that? What do? We had to try to figure out what to do. Part of figuring out what to do was dividing up responsibilities amongst the superpowers. This is a long way of saying we looked at France and we said, hey, France, man, sorry you got your butt kicked there. That sucked. Hey, you know what? You've had a rough go of it. Why don't you take Vietnam back? You had it anyway. And then you lost to Hitler and the Japanese ran you out of there. But take Vietnam back. We want you to have it. But if you're the Vietnamese people, pause for a moment and think about how unpalpable that would be. Because let's have a conversation about that colonization trade-off we were just discussing earlier. Remember, there's a trade-off. I'm the French. I get to come into Vietnam in your country. I am going to provide for you certain things, and I'm going to take from you certain things. I'm going to take your natural resources from you. Not all, but a lot. I am going to take your people when I need them for war. Hey, Vietnam, I need 20,000 troops. Send them now, please. I'm going to put my people in place in charge of your country. You, Vietnam, you're going to get things, though. Like I already mentioned, housing, healthcare, modernization, education. And you know what else you're going to get, Vietnam? And this is how colonization was sold all over the planet. You know what else you're going to get, Vietnam? Protection. Because me, France, I stand behind you. Who will ever mess with you, Vietnam, if I'm here standing with you? And the people who had been colonized, not just the Vietnamese, all around the world, they understood that as being part of the deal. You can remain here. You can do these things. But you're going to be my bodyguard, right? Nobody's going to come in here and abuse me, right? And you make that deal with the French. And 15 minutes later, your daughter's being kidnapped to go work in a Japanese brothel. You've got some bitterness, do you not? The Vietnamese had no time for the French moving back in and taking over. The French wanted to move back in, did move back in. The Vietnamese people were having none of it. Boom. War kicks off. And this is a fascinating period of time in Vietnam's history if you want to dig into it. You know, the 50s kind of thing. We decide we're going to back the French because we want things to calm down. How are we backing the French? Stop me if any of this sounds familiar, America, because we're going somewhere with this. I'm going to get to my point here quickly. Tell me if any of this sounds familiar. We start sending over, oh, of course, we're not fighting. Oh, my gosh, don't be paranoid. We're not getting involved in a fight. Stop being paranoid. We just started sending money. It's just money, right? No boots on the ground. No boots on the ground. Don't worry. Oh, okay. All right. All right. Some boots on the ground now, but don't worry. They're just advisors. You've never heard of this before, right? This certainly is nothing that's taking place now in America. We're sending the French money. We're sending them advisors. We're even sending them planes to fight against the Vietnamese. It's not like we're doing that now with F-16s to Ukraine and things like that. Anyway, so we're sending them money. We're sending advisors. We're sending planes over. 80% of France's war budget in Vietnam funded by the United States of America. And that brings us to my point, which I will try to get to next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't worry, we still have so much to get to. More than an hour left. We got Savannah Hernandez coming up halfway through next hour. She's going to give us a heads up on this story out of California. Every parent with kids needs to hear this story, or parents who are about to have kids, although I guess that wouldn't make you a parent yet. Would-be parents? Upcoming parents? Chris, how do I say that? Parents-to-be. I just came up with that. Chris didn't help. Parents-to-be is a term that I just came up with without any help from Chris. Parents-to-be. Anyway, let's get back to our history story because I'm going somewhere with this and how it's connected to where we're at now. We're talking about Vietnam, all right? So we pour all this money, all these planes, all these advisors, no boots on the ground, of course, no boots on the ground, into the French as they're fighting the Vietnamese. But the French lose. They're just not what they were. It didn't matter what money we poured into them. The Vietnamese people had been hardened fighters by this point in time. France as a nation had been so shattered economically, militarily, and I'm not dogging them by or for their military prowess in Vietnam. There were a lot of really, really brave French troops there, but it wasn't happening, right? It wasn't happening at all. So the French lose. Now it's election time. The French lost, after all. Vietnam, now there's only one of them, right? Because there was one Vietnam under France. Now there's only one of them, except not so much. This is where America stepped in again. America and the South, they realized that they were going to lose any election held by the communists. Why do you lose elections held by communists? One, it's sadly because the communists were the most powerful and popular party in the country at the time. But two, because communists cheat in elections. Breaking: judge overturns Bridgeport, Connecticut mayoral primary election after Democrat clerk busted for ballot stuffing. Elections are nothing but an inconvenience for communists. They always have and they always will be. Anyway, America steps in and says, no, two Vietnams, South and a North. The North obviously goes full communist. The South does not. The Southern guy, though, oh, man, did he suck. Now, he was supposedly an anti-communist, and he was going to be our guy. One quote I read, I believe this is verbatim. Don't quote me on this, but I think it was verbatim. Somebody said, he's a son of a beep, but at least he's our son of a beep. The guy who was running things in the South as a dictator was a real piece of trash. He starts oppressing religions there even. Buddhism obviously is something that caught hold. Have you ever seen a picture, or God forbid you've seen a video, there is video of it, don't look this up, of a monk setting himself on fire? You've seen this, right? Chris has seen it. Michael, you've seen this. It's horrible stuff. You know, there's a very good chance if you've seen one of those, that actually took place in South Vietnam. That's one of the places that really caught on. The monks were setting themselves on fire to protest how much of a piece of trash this Southern dictator was. Now, let's pause for a moment because, again, I realize you already know that this is coming back home for America and what I see happening here. I'm going to finish my story. Don't worry. But think for a moment about everything we've just discussed from an American point of view. Think how invested we are in this area. How long have we been pouring money, munitions, food, advisors, support into this area? Forever. We were back in Ho Chi Minh, and then we were back in the forever. And momentum is one of those things that's very difficult to quantify and define. Nevertheless, it's very real and easy to see. All the momentum in the United States of America, with the national security apparatus we had in place, all of them, all the momentum was We have to be involved in Vietnam. We have to be involved in Vietnam. We have to win in Vietnam. We have to win in Vietnam. We have to do this. We have to do, I don't know, maybe similar to something you see in America today of something along the lines of, we have to stop Russia at any cost. Anyway, back to Vietnam. I certainly don't want to make it about America quite yet. North and South split. Southern guy's a piece of trash. North Vietnam, full communist. Well, communists are still communists, whether they're Vietnamese communists, American communists, or whatever. Communists don't see pieces of ground they don't want to conquer. Remember, the communist is a conqueror. He is an agent of destruction and domination. If you handed him 99% of the world, he wouldn't spend 5 seconds celebrating. It would eat at him that he didn't have 1% of the world. The North still wanted the South. We begin to pour in advisors, Green Berets, Special Forces types. This is 1961. What are they doing there? They're arming and advising the South Vietnamese. This is under Kennedy, keep in mind. Under Kennedy, we now have thousands of troops there, 10,000, 16,000 troops. This is before the Vietnam War, keep in mind, because that's where we're going here. Just hang on. Before the Vietnam War. All kinds of Green Berets, advisors, men, equipment there. American government, they're pretty much ready to move in and take over the whole thing at this point in time. The problem was, stop me if any of this sounds familiar, the South Vietnamese government was not only horrifically corrupt, they were weak and unable to stand up to the North Vietnamese government unless they were propped up entirely by America. None of this is ringing any bells for our current situation, right? Ding, ding, ding. None of this sounds familiar, right? Anyway, so that's our situation. And then, boom, that fateful day happens. John F. Kennedy gets assassinated in Dallas. Not saying there's any relation to this. Who knows what the relations are. But JFK gets assassinated in Dallas. Now, I don't want to absolve JFK for what's coming because JFK was part of that momentum we just discussed where the national security apparatus decided on its own that we had to be involved in Vietnam. We had to be involved in Vietnam. We have to keep Vietnam. We have to protect Vietnam. And it just became the thing. If you were at the State Department, CIA, no matter what government in any form, that was just the accepted intelligence at the time. And that brings us to LBJ. Lyndon Johnson. Oh my gosh. Lyndon Johnson. Sorry. We will finish this story, I promise, and tie it into modern times as we get to our final hour on the Thursday Jesse Kelly Show. I hope you've enjoyed history as much as I've enjoyed talking about it. I hope you enjoy life too. Did you know that right now in Ohio, they are trying to enshrine into their constitution abortion? Did you know? Do you want to know the battle we fight? Warren Buffett. You've heard of him, right? Did you know that Warren Buffett has spent $40 million to make sure more abortions are available? That's what we're up against. The majorly rich, evil people in this planet who believe in population control, killing babies. That's where preborn comes in. They can have their Warren Buffetts. We'll take our preborns. Preborn giving these young women who've been lied to and manipulated, preborn giving them free ultrasounds so they can discover it's not a clump of cells, it's your baby. And then when they choose life, preborn stays right there alongside of them, caring for them and the baby. That's where your money goes. Your $28 buys that ultrasound. Go give it tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse, all right? Preborn.com/Jesse. We shall return.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind the scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.